hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
And welcome to Waking Up the Masses right here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. I'm your host, Robert Bruce, joined by my good friend, Mr. John LeBang. How are you doing, sir?
Excellent, my friend. It's 80-some degrees. We've actually had almost 100 degrees of global warming in the past 3 months. It's incredible. Oh, the end of the world is coming.
As we know it, indeed. But you feel fine, don't you?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, welcome. Welcome, guys. Welcome to Waking Up the Masses. And should we feel fine? Should we feel fine in this crazy world we have? Coming on the show later, we have, he's been a previous guest on here, a young man by the name of Shane Radliff. The website is libertyunderattack.com. Guys, go check it out. And he will, I'm not sure, he might be joining us at the, in the second hour, but maybe earlier. We'll see. It might be after the next break. But, so, meet Patriot Act 2.0, John.
Yeah.
Meet Patriot Act 2.0. And it, you can find it. It's online. What is this thing called? The Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. Yeah. The words there. Couple this with, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say couple this with their new, what is it, the Freedom Act? The Freedom Act or whatever they're trying to call it. You know, they'll never give up. Mm-hmm. That's what people need to realize. These guys, they're never going to give up. They're never going to give in. I saw this article. And, you know, those that don't know their history can't predict it either. Those that don't know their history can't predict it either. And I saw this article of somebody that says 10, I see these all the time. 10 reasons the New World Order will fail. 10 reasons that this will happen or that will happen. And they say, oh, you know, people have looked at this group and that group. And then they get into the specifics of the exoteric things that we see every day, which are important. You have to understand how the puppets move. But these 10 reasons, and so I was going through these, and I was like, gosh, these guys don't do any historical research. It's not like a group of people sat down when George Bush got in office and said, let's take over the world. Yeah, we'll meet at the Bohemian Grove and hang out with the builder. But no. Though, as I've said, it's been a generational plan. Just look at George Bush. Look at his family. Look at the family ties, how they go back. My gosh, not to mention so many others with their little divine right, you know, around the world with their divine right to rule.
Because they're the leaders, man.
Yeah.
They have to rule.
Indeed. And, you know, if the New World Order, shall we say, is on the way out, it's going to be like that feral cat that I was getting out of my house.
Right.
It's going to be like that. Yes, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. These guys, I mean, news alert, they've been in control for millennia. They've been in control for millennia in some way, form, or fashion. In some way, form, or fashion. I think sometimes, you know, like I said, you got some group that falls to the side and a new group that pops up. One group falls to the side and a new group pops up. The Rosicrucians, if I'm not mistaken, is it the Rosicrucians or is it, let me see which one it is here. Oh, it's one of the individuals that was riding, see if I can find this exact quote. One of the individuals that was riding on, about the Great Seal. About the Great Seal. Let me see if I got this, man. I know I got it here somewhere. or maybe I don't. The coming of the New Deal. The coming of the New Deal, man by the name of Arthur M. Schlesinger. It was published in 1958. And he wrote this. And he's talking about Henry A. Wallace, who was a vice president at one time. He said the occult fascinated him. He saw special significance in the Great Seal of the United States and its phrase, E Pluribus Unum, and its conception of unity out of diversity. Even more, He was fascinated in the reverse seal, the incomplete pyramid and its 13 levels of stone and the apex suspended in the form of an all-seeing eye surrounded. Where is the rest of it? I've been ganked, John.
Sorry. Forgetting you, man. You sure you're not under mind control or something?
I might be. I just might be. Somebody got my notes. They did.
Well, the feral cat took it with it. That's what it happened.
I think something like that. but I do. I do. I don't have to. I can blah blah around and find and find it. I do have it here, I believe. Let's see. Well, maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. Maybe I just hit a dead end there.
But you know these things.
No, I know exactly what I was talking about. I was just suddenly I lost my notes. I lost my notes.
You're in the ether, brother.
You know what happened? I'm gonna tell you what happened. You know, you always try to do things different and try to, you know, that kind of stuff. And, I got a new printer or a new printer cartridge. Yes. It's like I'm so used to having all my notes and, you know, their own desk or their own other, in other books that I keep them in. But hey, it is what it is, but I'm going to find this. I'm not going to leave everybody hanging on that, but see, the bad thing is I'm torn between two books here. No, I got it. I found it. Should I read the whole quote again?
Go ahead. Start over, man. Maybe you can get it better.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to beat myself upside the head. But here we go. I'll go ahead and say this. where it says that, the incomplete pyramid with its 13 levels of stone and the apex suspended above in the form of an all-seeing eye. And I have the book here. What I'm reading from, to tell you the book, I'm quoting from a book called The Cult of the All-Seeing Eye by Robert Keith Spencer. Robert Keith Spencer. So it is, I'm quoting a book out of a book, but it's an excellent book. You probably heard Cooper read it on a show before, talking about the, what is it, the meditation room at the UN.
Right, I was going to say that, yep.
Yep, you probably heard him talking about that there before. So, it says, surrounded by the inscription, annuitus coeptus, novus ordo seclorum. Those who are devout believers in the prophecy of the Bible might well wonder whether the reverse of the great seal did not prefigure the second coming of the Messiah. Though he remained noncommittal about the extent of his own belief, Wallace did induce the Secretary of the Treasury to put the Great Pyramid on the new dollar bill in 1935. He sold this to Secretary Morgenthau on a prosaic ground that the Novus Ordo was Latin for the New Deal. And for years afterward, Morgenthau was beset by people who assumed that the appearance of the Great Pyramid on the currency signified its own attachment to the Esoteric Fellowship. His susceptibility to the occult had drawn Wallace in the late 20s into the orb of the white Russian mystic Madame Blavatsky, and also another one by the name of Dr. Nicholas Rorch, a painter and associate of the Moscow Art Theater and Ballet. Let's go forward here a little bit.
So the next time you order a white Russian drink, don't call it a white Russian. Just say, hey, bartender, give me a little Blavatsky.
You had your Bolsheviks. A lot of them became your red Russian. There was a white Russian army that was opposed to them that still wanted the reinstatement of the guy that came in before, Kerensky, the whole socialist democratic idea they had that Lenin and his guys put out. So, yeah, there's also the white Russian army. But he goes on to say that in references – he referred that Wallace, when he went to Washington, he spent time with these mystics and everything. That some of the letters in between him and this guy Rorich, this painter and the associate of the Art Theater and Ballet in Moscow, he addressed him as Dear Guru. Remember, this is a former vice president, Henry A. Wallace. He addressed him as Dear Guru. And he talked about the flaming one, the wavering one, and the meteor ochre one. Now, he's talking about, when he says the meteor ochre one, he meant Roosevelt. He talked about the dark ones and the tigers, the Soviet Union, and all these things to the mystic allusion to that America had descended and was going to be purified by, was going to be purified by flames. That's fascinating, man. That's fascinating.
Incredible.
Yeah, these letters back and forth between these guys. but also, let's see, another thing about the seal there. You know what? I'm going to leave that alone. Well, no, actually I'm not. On the dollar bill, there was one more thing I was going to bring up. The New Age magazine, which is, I believe it's the Scottish Rite Journal now. The New Age magazine from their April 1960 issue volume, let's see, I believe it's volume 68. 68 number 4, if I'm not mistaken. That one's sort of blurred on the thing. It says, quote, Masonic, this is from them, man. Okay? Mason from, and give you their address. It comes from, this is from a Mason by the name of James B. Walker, 31st degree. And it is approved of by the official organ of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree, ancient and accepted Scottish Rite, or Freemasonry, Southern jurisdiction of the United States. And it says, Masonic symbols in a dollar bill. 13 leaves on the olive branch. 13 bars and stripes in the shield. 13 feathers in the tail. 13 arrows. 13 letters in E pluribus unum on the ribbon. Stars in the green crest above. Long feathers representing 32 long feathers representing 32nd degree of masonry. 13 granite stones in the pyramid with the Masonic all-seeing eye completing it. 13 letters in Anuit Coeptus. God has prospered. On the front of the dollar bill is the seal of the United States, made up of a key, a square, and the scales of justice, as well as a compass, which, of course, is an important symbol in masonry. excuse me. In the Scottish Rite magazine, their New Age magazine, man, they were always boasting of things. They boasted of the fact that they were the ones that made the very big undertaking. And that's historically proven. You can look at some of their supreme councils and what they did. This big undertaking of forming our public education system. A mandatory, compulsory public education system that dumps people down, basically. And they're always taking credit for these things. They are always taking credit for these things. And this is the same, these are the same guys. It's sort of better to give a more recent view of these individuals sometimes, so some people can get into it and understand. You can look at the Bushes. You can look at the Roosevelts. Both of these guys, man, one starts the whole progression towards, of course he was progressive, the whole progression towards a new world order, that Novus Ordo Seclorum, and the other one just picks it up. And these guys, their family connections, the Bushes and their family connections. This was not supposed to be about the kings. And let's just think about this. Since, now we've had some dastardly individuals, I believe, in there before you had Theodore Roosevelt. Had some dastardly individuals in there before Theodore Roosevelt. But since Theodore Roosevelt, they've all been bad. I don't care what anybody says. They'll throw Kennedy. But Kennedy was just as bad. But, you know, that song, I Need a Hero.
But there was a reason they took him out.
Yeah, he was not that kind of New World Order guy. He was a different kind of New World Order guy. He was very akin to the same reason that they took out Ferdinand. This was a guy that had, except Ferdinand was more of a, I think the Kennedys have some sort of bloodline, but Ferdinand was more straight Merovingian, Archduke Ferdinand. So, and he was allying with the Vatican. Once again, the Scottish Rite magazine talked about this. You know, he was putting his stone down on the Vatican. And they didn't like that. Here you have Kennedy. That's just him being Catholic. Just him being Catholic is a threat to them of unifying that whole thing there. So, yeah, same thing. They just had, instead of the Black Hand, well, I guess you could still call it the Black Hand if you want to just give it a name, but instead of the Black Hand, it was whatever dastardly beings were behind the veil in this country that brought that forward.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's the same. It really is the same. I don't believe, truly John, I don't believe that. Well, you just look at Kennedy's family. There we go. You look at what his father was involved in. These guys are not like that little picturesque family. You know, the little Camelot. No. These are some dirty down crooks.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy just happened to, John F. Kennedy, I believe, just happened to have a more, a better appeal. They knew how to sell him. He was young. There were a lot of that was sort of the beginning of a lot of dumbing down in this country. Not that it wasn't taking place before, but that was sort of the beginning with the big national education system as well as the colleges. Everything started to go down and hey, it started to putrefy.
When you said Kennedy was more appealing, I think that's the reason, Clinton got to be moved forward the way because he was very appealing, very much like Kennedy was. And we saw, Clinton picked up the ball just as well as any of the other ones in front of him and the ones in back of him. And in fact, it always seems the guy after the guy picks up the ball and moves it even further than the last guy.
Indeed.
He went 10 feet. I'm going to go 12 because I can. And then I'm going to go 15. Can you imagine in like three or four presidents, they're going to be going for the whole touchdown every time.
Oh, they will. It's going to be Hail Mary every time. It's going to be, I mean, and you know, that just brings me, you know, there's a lot of, I guess you could say society loves to speculate. There's a lot of speculation out there of people. They keep saying, well, Obama won't give up the White House. Obama won't give up the White House. Now, see, the insanity of that, it's like, whoa, what if he does? What if Bush hadn't given up the White House? The same stuff would be going on. There would be a different tenor in the country, I guess you would say.
Right, and I've actually talked about that as in speculation, but I don't know what's going to happen, and anybody who thinks they know what's going to happen, crazy, really, because none of us know. These, as you call them, jackballs, these guys... They do what they want. They have their plan in order, and they're all of us profane out here, we don't have a clue. We can just guess at what they're doing and at least follow their steps, and maybe we can, you know, get by without getting too dirty, we'll say.
So another little thing. I was reading through an old Rosicrucian book from the early 1900s, The Fundamental Laws of the Rosencross, the 68th Convocation. And they quote, and see, I thought, reading this, I thought, there's almost like I know it comes from what they call Merlin, but I'd also heard something like, who was it, Nostradamus say something similar to this, but they talk about Merlin. They say, quote, this comes from that, it says, quote, long before, and in this chapter, in this book, they're discussing the Great Seal of the United States. And they say long ages before the discovery of America, Merlin of King Arthur's court wrote of our constellation of 13 stars. It says, when the cock, and that would be France, shall woo the dove, America, mother and child shall cease to love, rebellion of the colonies. When the cock, France, shall guard the eagle's nest, France's aid to America, the stars, the constellation of 13, they say, shall rise all in the west. The 7 and the 6 shall make the 1, which they reference as being E pluribus unum, the 13 letters. It says, and the lion's might shall be undone. And these Rosicrucians, of course, they attribute that to Merlin.
Merlin, the great wizard.
They even go on to say after this, they say, it says, today in America, well, it says, the stars upon our sail. Remember, this is the Fundamental Laws of the Rosicross. I think this was 1917, it might be, or 1923. I can't remember. If it's not one of those dates, it's in between. It says, the stars upon our sail are set in the form of a six-pointed star or a double triangle. This is anciently called Solomon's seal and was embroidered upon the curtain of the temple, which hung from the Holy of Holies. At each point of the star was placed the symbol of the order which set forth the arcane wisdom. And no man might not pass into the Holy of Holies, save he mastered the learning of these orders, and safely to himself, and with safely to himself, because the presence upon the altar within. It says today in America, they're talking about this. It's trying to say, well, that's why this is here. It says today in America, we have the restoration of this knowledge in these six orders. The order of the Illuminati, the order of the Rose Cross, the ancient order of alchemists, the fraternity of Osiris, and the Magi and Eth of priesthood and priesthood. So, I will leave it at that. Don't want to get into super long. But yeah, they go on. Well, I'll read a little bit more. So the all-seeing eye looks down upon the ancient pyramid, which too symbolizes America and all she must mean to the world out of glory and the sign of the descent of the New Jerusalem. Now, this is very interesting. I've read this in, you know, in a few different Rosicrucian writings of the day from the 1800s and the early 1900s in America. And I find it very interesting that they, just like the Mormons, they talk about this New Jerusalem in America. They talk about this New Jerusalem, that this is the New Jerusalem. The Kingdom of Jerusalem, you know, that goes back to some of those Illuminists of the 1700s. The Kingdom of Jerusalem was something that was said to be within, but they would use it in the outer part saying, you know, this is going to be, you know, in the outer degree saying this is going to be, this would go back to like the Swedenborg, right? And say, okay, here, you know, this is going to be the Kingdom of Jerusalem, but truly what they meant was you become your own God. That the Kingdom of Jerusalem is within you. Just a little side note there. But yeah, man, these guys, they've always, whether they're in secret societies or whether they're in the government, they've all, not so much anymore. We were talking about political correctness the other day. Not so much anymore, but in the past, they have been very, they just right out in the open. Yes, America is the new Atlantis. Yes, America is the new Atlantis. Albert Mackey made references to this. Manly P. Hall made references to this. The Rosicrucians make references to this.
And who was the secret August body that helped us?
Yes, who was that secret and August body? That's Manly P. Hall, is it not?
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
It was this guy. Let's go back to what we began the hour with. Meet Patriot Act 2.0. It was this guy. Read this quote here before, but it's always good to read again. It says, the instruction shall be so conducted that each shall disclose what he thinks, what he conceals within his own breast, that are his ruling propensities and passions, and how far he has advanced in the command of himself. This will answer all the purposes of auricular confession, and in particular, every person shall be made to spy on another and all around him. Nothing will escape our sight by the means. We shall readily discover who are contented and receive with relish the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, I'm not going to get into all of it. Long quote. He's saying, hey, we're just going to spy on everybody. I'm going to have two people below me. Each of those I have two below them. Each of those I have two below them. And it'll be a big spy operation from the top to the bottom.
Yep. And there'll be nowhere where you can hide.
You don't have to do it willingly now. As I always say, to bring it out into the open, you don't have to do it willingly. Computers swap information. All our information is on the internet. It's there.
Yep.
It's there, you know, this whole thing today, they're saying this court rules that the NSA is going beyond their bounds with the collection of metadata. guys, you know, this didn't just start with computers. This did not just start with computers. That's insane thing that, oh, just because the internet's made all of our privacy. No, it's always been there. It's always been there. Internet just made it more accessible. That's all it did. The internet sped up the frequency from where, as maybe used to, you might be spied on, and that might be a novelty if someone actually looked in on you, to now it's habit. You know, when novelty becomes habitual, when novel behavior becomes habitual and that behavior is out of place, whether it's destructive to our own selves or someone doing something to us, that's when things go awry, man. You know, right. It's like any kind of bad habit. You know, some people, they might get into hard drugs. It might be novel and cool the first time, but eventually it becomes habitual and it becomes a control system. So that's what I see it as more. They've always been looking. They've always been the eye in the sky, and they can read your mind. They were the...
But that's not good enough for them. They, not only do they want to read your mind, but now they want to tap into your mind, control your mind, and even... put memories in there that you
Oh,
that's
the way
it is with these guys.
They do all that. They do that already in a subtle way through the manipulation of the prism which we see things every day. I mean, don't you think so? I mean, look at the way they make, you know, they can make you depressed because you'll get involved in a certain sense of thought and, you know, something might happen. And because you're involved in that certain paradigm, you believe it, you know, that's the end, man. That's the end. Things can't get any worse than this. You know, we've been programmed to be over emotional and act like movie stars in movies and pretend like, oh God, it's the end of the world. That's not real life. That's not real life. That's, sort of like the whole salon novels that started coming out in the 1600s in Paris. And, you know, they were fairy tales. They were fairy tales. It's the whole, these weren't your grim fairy tales. These preceded that. They were fairy tales to get people locked into these ideas and, look at of this little royalty type love. This little royalty type love that did not need any kind of structure to it, any strength on either side. It was just all based on feeling. And these things started attracting upper class women. This was sort of like one of your first feminist movements. These books were being written by men. These books were being written by men for the purpose. They knew media could control someone. Keep giving them pie in the sky ideas. Because they're the maker of fools. Ooh, they can read your mind. Guys, we'll be right back here in just a few minutes right here on Truth Frequency Radio. You're listening to Waking Up the Masses. We shall return.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
This is London calling on Longwave.
The Chris Everard Show. Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
And we are back here on Waking Up the Masses. We have with us today Mr. Shane Radliff of LibertyUnderAttack.com. Welcome back, man.
Hey, well, thanks for having me again, Robert. I'm definitely glad to be back.
So how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Just finished up my semester of classes today, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Nice, nice. Are you learning anything in indoctrination camp?
God. Oh, man. Luckily, it was just a speech class, which does have... Can't have some positive outcomes, but the writing, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, that's the thing about college. It's not the fact that you can't learn anything there. It's all the bullcrap that they offer there that's supposed to be perceived as learning.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's true.
But I mean, come on, man. I remember. College is nothing but a big liberal party. For lack of a better word, let's just call it a big sex, drugs, and rock and roll time. There's not a lot.
Precisely.
So there we go. It's a different mindset. I understand that. But there has been, you know, especially since the 60s, there has been more and more indoctrination on the campuses. Indoctrination into being the sheep.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I see posters up everywhere of like how to reduce your impact on the global carbon footprint and things like that, and how to prevent global warming and all this stuff. And it's just like, come on, guys, come on.
You should make up a little poster that you could stick on the corner of their poster that shows a bunch of little stick people walking off a cliff.
Oh, I should do that.
And it says and put a big in a big heart balloon. Put "It starts with you." That's what I get, man. I've talked to, you know, people I know personally, and they'll bring up this thing. They're like, "Oh yeah, there's too many people," and I've heard them say, "We're like a virus on the earth." I'm like, "Well, jump off a cliff then if you feel that way."
Yep.
If you truly feel that way, jump off a cliff. No, your survival mechanism in your brain overrides that propaganda and tells you not to. But see, that's the thing. We're coming to a day and time and a day and age where survival mechanisms are being shut off, and we don't have to run over it. We're living lemmings. Man has become a living lemming. He doesn't have to go over the cliff. He's pretty much dead inside already because they've taken away his freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, my good friend here, Mr. LeBang.
What's up, Shane? How are you doing?
How's it going, brother?
I am doing great. Having a lot of fun up here in Michigan, you know, facing that global warming you were talking about.
Oh yeah. Indeed. Indeed.
But I'm one that always likes to throw the side note out there, man. Our environment has been poisoned. This is no lie. Our environment has been poisoned. The constant, let's just talk about this, even if there were not chemtrail activity, simply contrails. People will say, you know, let's say they're just contrails. Let's go out in the complete sheeple land. Oh, they're contrails, and that's it. Even if they were just contrails, it's like, okay, well, then they don't dissipate like they're supposed to. And there's so much jet activity constantly in the sky. Yes, you guys are you are the one manipulating it. The dialectic, we'll do it. But we'll blame it on you. And then, in turn, you will give us what we want. And so many people have tied into that idea. See, first they break the idea of money is good. You know, they break that idea. Any kind of worth, as far as wealth, is bad. So now in the process, we can, you know, it, if you are willing, this is just my psychological take on it, and I'm not, I don't have a PhD or nothing, but just observing. In the process, we have a, not those of us that see through the veil, and maybe we were born before some of this craziness happened, but those that are born into it, you are dehumanized. I always talk about this, man. You dehumanize individuals when you make it about, even though it's not their fault, maybe it is indirectly, but it's about you. It's about you. You see, they put the blame on us. It's about you guys. Let's say the global warming thing is true. Let's say the carbon footprint and all the ya-ya is true. But it's about you, Shane. It's about, it's not about these guys flying around in their private jets. It's about you. It's not about them using tons of energy in their house, in their big palatial mansions. No, it's about you. It's about you. You're the one that needs to sacrifice. This is what is a dead giveaway to me. This is the dead giveaway to me, because it always, in every, you know, they got different ways to do it, but in every socialist revolution from the French Revolution on, it, and some before that, it's always been about, you're the problem. In the Iron Mountain Report, you're the problem. We have to make it, we'll say, okay, let everybody pollute, and then we'll turn around and say, you're the problem. And it wasn't the first go at it. It really wasn't the first go. You know, it's like a video game. They got a few tries. Back when I was not really much younger than you are, you know, we were going to go into global cooling.
Yes, most people don't remember that either, yeah. Robert.
That there was a big fervor. We were going into global cooling. By now, we were supposed to be in big glaciers and ice and everything all over the earth. There was even this guy that was kind of way out there, New Agey, but in a bad way, in a deceptive way, using things that you can find allegory in and talking about them in a physical sense. And it was like 5-5-2000 was the name of the book. And he played into that, saying that we were going to have this polar shift. You know, we're going to have this, and here's something a lot of people don't realize. There are two kinds of flips. Your poles can flip. That doesn't mean the earth doesn't flip. That just means from then on, actually, north on your compass would be somewhere else. It might cause some disruptions in weather and stuff, but it's not going to be such as if you had a true flip. And that's rare. You'd have to have the moon go out or something massive that would already destroy anybody to do that. So, you know, there's all kinds of disinfo out there. But back to you, my friend. Back to you. This is not a... This is not Robert Bruce Lecture Hour. This is you. I bet some of my guests think that. It's like, gosh, shut up and let me talk, man. Shut up and let me talk. So, so Shane, you have been, just something I wanted to bring up, for a little bit. You have been doing things to make yourself less of a 14th Amendment, slave, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm working on that. I'm kind of taking a new approach, than I did previously. I know I've discussed this with you. If we were to reset the clocks back to 1776, we would get back to the same point that we're at now. So, it's my opinion that, the mind of man has to change. The definition of freedom, the real definition of freedom, needs to be relayed to these people. And I think freedom first starts individually. It starts individually. So what I'm doing now is I'm trying to do very small, insignificant things, for the most part, to make me more free as an individual. And that that entails anything from canceling my voter registration, which I'm still waiting on my certificate that I'm going to frame. But that's one thing, canceling voter registration, unbanking, which I'm working on at this point. It's not, that's going to be a longer process. And then also, I'm looking into state citizenship a little bit, and I haven't done a lot of looking into on that, but I have, kind of started digging into that.
You know, there's a individual on here on Truth Frequency Radio, Roger Sales. You should listen to his show and get in contact with him. He very, very knowledgeable on this stuff. Very, very knowledgeable. So good. You know, you're a young guy. Like I said, I'm fascinated to see. I'm fascinated, and it gives me hope to see some of you younger guys doing things. actually doing things. And your radio show, good show, man. You put on a good show. And I think this coming Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, you actually got an interview with Adam Kokesh this coming Sunday.
Yep, that is correct. We'll be joined by Adam Kokesh, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time at fprnradio.com.
Nice. So yesterday, I know you are, as John and myself are, have got into Bill Cooper's work. So yesterday was Bill's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So, Mr. Cooper, you know, anytime I talk to you, have you on or talk to you, I always have to laugh to myself. And so does John when we say the word Hiram.
that's our new favorite word.
Yes, Hiram. You remember the guy? Remember the guy?
Oh God! Yeah,
yes, that yeah. individual.
Yeah.
Yes. Suddenly after I you interviewed me. Suddenly, we were secret Masons, were we not?
Oh man, it was bad. I got about 100 emails that night from this individual, and it was. We were only on there for like 2 weeks. And I was talking to Ryan, our producer, about it, and he's like, that's got to be a record. He's like, you got trolled so hard, so fast. And I was like, well, at least we got the first instance out of the way. It was a good learning experience, I guess you could say.
the where you went wrong was you claimed me as a modern-day Bill Cooper, and it brought out what I call a Cooperite.
Fair enough.
I'm just messing with you. But it did. It brought out one of the Cooperites, one of these guys that has to be that he was the gospel. He was this guy that said, hey, everything I'm telling you, make sure and look into it. I can be wrong. Look at it. Research it. Blah, blah, blah. That guy. But you have people that got into everything that he was the gospel. And I think that was it. I'm pretty sure that was it. When he heard me say that I don't believe that in modern day time you're going to find any of these low-level Freemasons or really most of the higher ones involved in something we might call the Illuminati, because why would you keep hiding there? Freemasons didn't form the Illuminati. The Illuminati co-opted Freemasonry. It was a good place to hide. It would be like, maybe you want to use, let's just say that you form an all-men's group and you want to keep it from the women. So in order to do it, you go to a public restrooms where it's men only. You know, so that you're all in there. I know, strange comparison, but it's sort of the same thing. They realized this was something they could use and hide what they were doing. And that's what they did. I think in this day and time, it's the media. Everything they talked about. Weishaupt said that they had to, get themselves, they had to employ themselves the literati, which would have been the media at the time.
You know, mm-hmm. The worst thing about all that trolling is I had nothing to do with the show and I got trolled to death over it myself.
No joke. That blew my mind.
Yeah, we gotta watch out for fanatics. You really do. You gotta watch out for fanatics, and that's why, like I said, I admire what you're doing. You're a researcher. You look deep, and you keep looking deep. It doesn't have to be what this person said or that person said. So, good for you. So, what's been going on with Liberty Under Attacks? What have you guys been getting into lately?
Well, last week we touched on depopulation. Which ties into the global warming thing too, interestingly enough. It all comes full circle, it seems. What else have we talked about?
Have you guys ever looked into Thomas Malthus?
I have not. No, I do not know his name.
The Malthusian philosophy. He was an Anglican priest in England in the early 1700s, and he had this philosophy that the people would always outstrip the resources no matter where they were, and that there had to be some sort of checks and balances put into play so that didn't happen. The instigators of the French Revolution and the ones that pushed it actually really adopted these whole Malthusian ideas. In the middle to late 1800s in England, you had something start up. It was started by a 33rd degree Freemason by the name of George Drysdale. You had Malthusian leagues. And Malthusian leagues got together for this idea of talking about what can they do about this. And it's interesting that you had doctors that started joining the Malthusian League. And they would have little rolling lodges of help They were there to help society. It might be with an herb to help abort a baby. They might do whatever barbarous way they did it in that time, an actual physical abortion. These were your first, they were roving Malthusian leagues. These little, mobile Malthusian leagues to go out and you find a lot of this whole depopulation. The interesting thing is, you know, a lot of these people back, whether it was Thomas Malthus or, Annie Besant, a lot of these individuals that put, Sanger.
Oh God, yeah. A
lot of these individuals that have perpetuated the whole conversation. They never put it to work. Remember, these were a little speculative elitist. That's what a lot of people need to realize. These were a little speculative elitist. It sort of got started. Eugenics sort of got started in its modern day form where? In the United States.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And it really got its big push with World War II. And with World War II, they put a lot of it into action. So, you know, we have such a technological society that's so wrapped up around every little beep and ding and whistle and light these days. I believe it would probably be a lot easier in this day and time. During the French Revolution, remember there were at that time 25 million people in France, and their little Malthusian influenced mind said that, you know, this needs to be downgraded to about 15 or 10. You know, they said anywhere from 10 to 15 million need to die. Now, it stopped about 1 million. Some say a little bit more, some say a little bit less. But it stopped about with 1 million deaths. But these were their ideas. These were their ideas. There are those that, you know, hey, if you can't... Lenin took it on. Lenin took these ideas on. Hey, if you can't work, you can't eat. You don't get your equal share anymore. Some are more equal than others.
So Shane, you were talking about the depopulation. Were you getting into like Agenda 21?
Unfortunately, no. There was just so much stuff. We touched on, like I said, Margaret Sanger. We went through the creation of Planned Parenthood, touched on eugenics in America, the Cold Springs Harbor, eugenics laboratory that, opened. In the early 1900s, or late 1908, I think it was, somewhere around there, which is really interesting. And when you look at the foundations funding it, like the Carnegie Foundation, which, I mean, that's no surprise to us, but, I mean, it's just interesting that all this stuff was going on all the way back then. And most people think that eugenics started with Hitler. No, Hitler adopted American eugenics, which I think is probably something that's hard for people to understand, but
a lot of the guys during the Nuremberg trials, when asked, they responded about that. They had patsies during. That's the craziest thing, is they had patsies during the Nuremberg trial. They needed some people to point the finger at, so they could take a bunch of them also and get them involved in what we know as Project Paperclip.
Yep.
And it wasn't just Project Paperclip. You know, a lot of these guys went into Egypt also and helped the. Helped the, what you would call the Muslim Brotherhood of the day. So, what's his name? Well, you wouldn't remember him. I know John would. You can find him in history, but John, do you remember the Egyptian president Sadat?
I do remember. That was a long time ago.
Yes, when Sadat was young, he was deeply involved with some of these Nazis, as was his predecessor.
During like, Carter Reagan era, or probably a little bit before that, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, and when he would talk, people thought he had a stuttering problem, but he was reaching for his English, and he would stop every few words and go, And yeah, I remember the media always made Saturday Night Live at the time. I was a little kid, I could stay up and watch it. They'd always make fun of him if they were doing world leaders. Back when they actually made parodies of all world leaders. instead of kissing some people's butts and everything. So that's where we got these days. So Shane, you guys haven't really necessarily got into Agenda 21.
Nope, unfortunately not. I'm aware of it. It's just one of those things that's on the list to research, and I just have not done it yet.
Agenda 21 is more wrapped around what you would call sustainable development and environmental things, and pushing people more and more off the land. And it is through Agenda 21 and those tenets that what arises is what they would call as Thomas Malthus said, that old lovely Anglican preacher in England in the early 1700s, that people will always outstrip. That's their philosophy. This was nothing. This guy didn't do any experiments or anything. It's some little philosophy he had. And this was expounded on. It's sort of like the philosophy of global warming and how we're going to fix it and everything. You see how much speculative science and everything people throw out? It's amazing. It really is. It's opinion central. So Margaret Sanger, you know, I've seen people that will support this lady. I have seen people that will try to debunk things that are said about her. And, you know, I found pictures of her speaking to the Ku Klux Klan at a Klan rally. I found pictures of her speaking to the Southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite, who at that time really weren't too much far removed, and in this day and time either. But, so, you know, she was, and she had some nasty things that she said, really about, you know, about people that were not white. Yep. She was a dirty woman. People will try to disprove that and say, oh, well, and see, that's the thing also I've heard the apologists say, well, these were all people that were theorizing about eugenics. Well, that's how it starts. That's how it starts. That's how a psychopath begins, or a sociopath. They start, that's violent. Mm-hmm. Say a serial killer, they start theorizing about hurting something. And then they slowly, it builds up, and it's open season. It's the mentality of the controlled slave.
She admitted that she went to the Ku Klux Klan meeting on page 366 of her autobiography.
Yes. Then people are trying, oh, that's a photo. I've seen people, that's a Photoshop picture. So what have you guys uncovered about that old bag?
Well, I originally went and just found some good quotes, and I was like, you know, some of this stuff is probably pretty hard to believe. So I'm actually going to go find the books or the documents or the speech scripts or whatever.
Don't believe the memes, man. Or the memes,
no.
The memes.
Oh, no.
Mimes,
oh, no.
Memes, memes. But, oh, go ahead.
but like baby codes, like you have to get a permit to have a child. It's, and men don't have a right to have a child. Women don't have a right to have a child. Got to go through daddy government. Got to get your permit. She mentioned one thing of all the, like, sterilizing people that, have undesired genetics or diseases or, psyche, I guess you could say.
Well, you have to understand that is the key. That is the key to eugenics. Undesirable. Because at the root of all these teachings, whether she understood it or not, is that perfect man type. Gotta have the perfect man type, man. The Aryan, that sort of image. That's the only way it's gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of forced sterilization stuff. I mean, yeah, she was definitely evil. She's definitely evil. I think she had one other quote where she said, like, the greatest thing a large family can do, when to their child is to kill it or something along those lines. Like, that was in her book. I actually screenshotted that and threw it up on the live stream and the broadcast because, yeah, she advocates for, she thinks it's a sin to have too many children.
And it's, you know, and I just look at all the things throughout, you know, this isn't anything new. This is nothing new. You can go back to ancient Babylon. You can find with the days of Nimrod on forward to Molech, the worship of that, which that was nothing. Molech, Osiris, Nimrod, all the same stuff, but, where they would sacrifice their children. And it was believed, remember, that everything has to be a religion. This is earth religion. That is what brings about a lot of these people that either that's their reason or it's how they justify abortion. That is part and parcel. So, no matter what time it is, back then, if you go back to ancient Babylon, you know, that whole belief in regeneration into something better, that belief in regeneration into something better. So you had willing, it wasn't like they had to go round up people. You had willing sacrifices, whether it was someone offering their baby or whether it was someone offering themselves, because they had a caste system and they believed, hey, the same thing sort of influenced India. They had this caste system. It's like, hey, You might be a slave now, but you might be reborn into the middle class. Or you might be a slave now. You might be a middle class, but you might be born a king. You might even be a slave and be reborn as the God himself. You might be Nimrod, Tammuz. See, that was the big idea. And this time we have another idea, another religion. That religion is false science. And the bad thing is, you know, the sad thing is they could start, they have lied to us so much about science, they could start telling us the complete and total honest truth. They truly could, man. They could start telling us the truth and nobody would believe them anymore. Nobody would believe them anymore. That is how much they've lied, but that's also part of the dialectic. You know, the Hegelian dialectic is not, dualism also is not so simple as problem, reaction, solution sometimes. Sometimes it's that problem and the reaction and the solution are quite, complicated with like a maze. And they want us to, hey, they want you to get to the middle of the maze. They want you to believe that you're the one that made it to the middle of the maze and you get the cheese. It's pretty much how it goes. You get the cheese. They get the rule. They're the eye in the sky. They get to read your mind and they get to rule. So, what else did you, you know, in the whole eugenics concept, we're getting close to break, so if you might hear the music come in, but with the whole eugenics concept, who else comes to mind when you were looking into that besides Margaret Sanger?
Well, your Bill Gates type people, who made quite the admittance, in a 2010 TED talk that was, themed around, combating global warming, and, he said that through vaccines, reproductive services, and healthcare, we could lower the population by 10 or 15%, and that's one that the term that you're like the science the people who worship science now are mostly state theists, if you've heard that term.
Indeed. So guys, we'll be right back here in just a few minutes right here on Waking Up the Masses. Today we have our guest, Mr. Shane Radliff of LibertyUnderAttacks.com. Hang in there. We shall return.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
You must unite what is in citizen.
We are TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
And welcome back to Waking Up the Masses here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Today we are joined by Mr. Shane Radliff of LibertyUnderAttack.com. That is right, man. Liberty Under Attack.
Indeed, that is one reason why we chose the name for it.
I accidentally said Liberty Under Attacks earlier in the previous segment. So,
well, it's multiple attacks, Robert.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, all kinds of liberty. So welcome back. And welcome back to the listeners. And if anybody wants to call in, guys, feel free. The number is 866-37-TRUTH, or in all numbers, it's 866-378-7884. And we were talking about eugenics. And you were talking about other individuals. Bill Gates, I've heard him. Cannot remember her name. She's part of the UN. You've seen the video going around about.
Actually, I know exactly who you're talking.
Doesn't she just scream like somebody that would have been in like the Nazi regime or something? It's the look of it. Like she just and see, here's what she made it.
Her name is Christiana Figueres.
Thank you. And here is what she. I love this. This is the thing they throw in there. If you listen to her, I don't know if it's the exact wording, but if you listen to her. She talks about global warming is a women's issue. I know some local communist, true blue communist. I know some local communist. And there is a little thing that will say it's a women's issue. It's a race issue. It's their new little slogan. It's a workers' issue. So what are they saying? You know what it is? These guys, whether it is Steinem on up to this lady, it's all about bringing in their little ideal utopian communism.
Indeed. And that's another big aspect of depopulation is communism. How many people have been killed by communism?
Oh, dude, that's mm-hmm. what happens with it.
Democide, yep. And the numbers are huge.
You know, we talk about... We talk about the Bolshevik Revolution and what happened after that, but a lot of people don't know about the French Revolution and how they put people into communes. They did away with the trades. I mean, there was an aftermath here. They did away with the trades. They went after all the Christians. They went after all the Christians and, you know, there were, I think 500,000, if I'm not mistaken, what they called French Celts. There were the Christian group in the northern part of France, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. But they were Celts, K-E-L-T-S. Man, they killed them in droves. They called them dogs. That was their little name for them. They called them dogs.
And let's jump over that the term Shane used, democide. Explain that to people because I can tell you that a lot of people don't even understand what that term means.
Well, quite frankly, democide is death by government. That's basically the definition. Just death by government.
There you go. Thank you.
Democide. I learned something new today. Democide.
You didn't know that word, eh?
I did not know that word.
Awesome. Huh. Learn something new every day, everybody.
So, but you know, I was bringing up the anti-Christian thing. You know, I've mentioned Voltaire. You know, our modern day media is nothing but a big Voltaire. A lot of people like him because he says there's little catchy phrases. I may not agree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And, you know, people need to read all of Voltaire's writings. He was a mean, hateful man that happened to have a little personality. But, you know, they recommended, you know, they were the book recommenders of the day. They recommend what you should read. You're all about listening to this new enlightenment. I hear so many people call it the age of enlightenment. Yes.
Would that be like Oprah's book club?
When you hear someone, actually there were intelligent readings, even though they were meant to deceive back then. But there was a writer that he recommended called Fréré, and he said, quote, "The universal cause, the God of the philosophers, of the Jews, of the Christians, it's but a chimera." He goes on to say, "Imagination daily creates fresh chimeras, which raise in them the impulse of fear. And such is the phantom of the deity." There were so many writings where they, in this modern day time, you will see people say, it's just a nothing about it. Christian religion is nothing more than putting fear in people and making them, fall in line. Which in its original form, if you look at what Jesus said, I don't really think so. He was all about getting out of line. He got out of line a lot. So, according to the status quo, he got out of line. Other writers that he recommended would talk about, you know, they would talk about morality and that it was okay now. It did not, you know, it was acceptable. You could leave your wife. Don't worry about it. Once this idea that was put forth about, you know, we all hear that whole term when the honeymoon's over. Well, this is where some of these ideas started being perpetuated by Voltaire and writers that he would recommend or that were under his tutelage. They would, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You don't feel that spark anymore, then you probably, you don't have to, there's no moral obligation to stay together. There's no moral obligation to stay together. Doesn't matter if you have children, so forth and so on. And this gave rise to so many, you know, in our modern day time, well, we have a welfare system that holds it up. If we didn't, it would give rise to the same thing that it did in France during the 1700s. Lots and lots of homeless children. They had an infanticide, man. And it wasn't necessarily killing the children, but that was reported. The infanticide was more just leaving them on the street. Tons of, and these kids, I'm just giving a little history lesson here. A lot of these individuals grew up to be those same guys that they were able to manipulate and say, look at what all these workers and the king and the church have done to you. You got to take it back. It was a process, and I think it's been a process in this country. You know, they have dehumanized. They've made the ability for us to, what shall we say, look at something and say, that's not a life now. You know, or look at a group of people and say, well, you know, only so many of those need to live because the rest just aren't sustainable. Gosh, I look back and I think about what some of my ancestors I've heard about just in the past few generations. How they lived on a farm and they raised like 10 children and they fed them. I've got pictures of these people. You know, my grandmother and grandfather on one side, they collected all these old pictures all the way back when they were doing pictures into the 1800s of our family. Big family. Most of them were farm people and they made it. They didn't outstrip their resources. Nothing like that. They actually made it. We're being lied to, man. And see, that's just part and parcel. And so many people buy into it. On the right and the left, people buy into it.
I got to jump in real quick. You're talking about big families. I come from one. On my grandmother's side, her mother had 13 children, but that doesn't top it. My grandfather's mother had 21 children. I mean, she had no time to cross her legs.
She gave birth to 21 children?
21 children.
Wow.
My gosh. What was it? She just like, she, at the, my gosh, she was quite used to it near the end, wasn't she?
I'm sure. My grandfather's, I mean, I'm,
No, I'm not getting, I'm just saying her body, her hips, all that, I'm being the physical. She had gotten used to that so much at the end, it just probably, that's, I'm not, but I've heard of this. I've heard of this.
They made it too. That's what that, they made it and the family strived. And we're all over Canada and in the U.S. We strived as a family. So that's where I was going with that is, man, I come from it. I know big families can work really well and it's not overpopulating. Man, you get more people helping out on top of it.
And the smaller the families, the less connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been by design. It has. It's been by design and that they perpetuate the idea. They perpetuate the idea every day. How can you, you know, not just through the media, but through the way they've made it. I mean, how can you take care of a big family? How can anybody take care of a big, oh, the government can take care of a big family. Oh, yes, they can. The government will be your farmer. They will be the guy that milks the cow. They will be all of that. It's going to be, hey, they're going to call in the debt one day. That's my opinion. I believe one day they're going to call in the debt on the debt slaves and they're going to explain to them the 14th Amendment.
They controlled the size of the family in the U.S. by bringing in the income tax as well because families couldn't afford to have the children.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed, man. There's been so much, you know, a lot of people make the war on the family about morality and stuff like that, which that is part of it. That can be part of it, definitely. But in a bigger, you're right, John, on a bigger scale. They have been able to constantly, and public education. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And so,
What other research are you doing there, Shane?
Yeah, man, what other stuff are you into these days? Are you researching strange Masonic fraternities that create things called the Masonic Fraternal Police Department?
I have not, no, but I'm aware that those do exist.
No, but did you see the article I'm talking about?
It was the one on, I think I saw it pass through my Facebook news feed. Yeah, it was a Fox News article, if I remember.
Yeah, it was in California. I mean, I can read part of it. It says three people have been charged in California with impersonating law enforcement officers after claiming to operate a police department with jurisdiction in 33 states. They said they belong to the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, which they claim dated back to the Templar Knights. One of the trio is a junior aide to California's Attorney General. Uniforms, weapons, vehicles were found on the premises linked to the group. So they were arrested later that day, but it says on the website, we were first. We are born into this organization. Our bloodlines go deeper than an application. It said according to the website, the Masonic Fraternal Police Department was created by the Knights Templar in 1100 BC.
Hey man, they got the grandfather clause.
It said in the article, 1100 BC. The Knights Templar came around like 1180, but a little bit after that, but I think it's 1118. But the Knights Templar, 1100 BC. Although the, so with that said, no you didn't.
What, you're, and the, 1100.
And let me just throw something out there. These individuals were also called, you know, history is what it is, and they're black. I don't think you have any bloodline that connects back to the Templars for the most part. Might be was a stray one in there somewhere. I'm not sure. You know, that might be something somebody can historically show me where there was a black Templar knight. But if there was, I don't think he was around about 1100 BC.
No, around 1110, wasn't it the Priory de Sion that was formed?
Yeah, the Order of Sion, as it was called. Right. They were formed, and they needed a... and they were there to house the bloodlines, and they needed a protectorate.
They just got the name wrong, man. That's all.
What's that?
Well, instead of the Knights Templar, they just got the name wrong. It should have been the Priory of Zion. They were in that form then.
You know, but there's the thing. As funny as this article is, you've heard me talk about the Research Lodge, the Quattor Coronati Lodge. Now, this lodge gave rise to unchartered lodges. They weren't under any jurisdiction. They started their own, such as the OTO, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, the Order of the Temple of the East and the West, the Thule Society, on with the brown shirts. On and on, man. All these little unconnected, like the brown shirts. Hitler's like, oh, we're not connected to those guys. See? is always a, so what are we looking at here? What are we looking at here? They could, this could be some big ruse they put up. This could be part of, and this is all speculation, okay? I'm just saying history shows that sometimes these little groups that people say are nothing actually happen to be what you would call a sub-lodge. You know, the Mother Lodge of England will tell you all day long they don't support anything about the OTO, but it was some of their members that helped bring it about. You know, it was some of their members as well as others that helped bring it about. So are we looking at something? Could this be that civilian military just as well-funded, just as strong? You definitely want to start something like that in the dark if you're going to use it. So, hey. It's not out of the realm. This is, like I said, that's speculative talk. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So you did see that article.
Yeah, I did see that.
I thought that was hilarious. I really did. I thought that was just seeing these guys. It's like, in the picture too, it's like, whoa, you guys are, you're rough looking too. You're rubby. It's like, what were you doing? Were you pulling people? I mean, what were they doing? So you had uniforms, weapons, and vehicles. These guys obviously had money to buy these things. And put something together, or was it just, is it just somebody playing a fun time? Why is one of them an aide? A junior aide to California's attorney general?
It could be a secret August body, dude.
It could be a secret August body. That goes all the way back to 1100 BC in the Knights Templar. The Masonic Fraternal Police Department. I heard about that. That's that little side group that they put off when they were, over in China, right? Oh, no, it's like Templars didn't go to China. But, you know, depopulation, going back to that, you know, that encompasses a lot of things. If you can't really depopulate a country, you know, you can slowly kill them. Or you can slowly kill a population around the world. I found this article, Shane, that popped up. It was talking about, I think it's from just mainstream media, Yahoo. It says, Afghan poppy farmers say new seeds will boost opium output.
Ooh, yay.
That's what we need. We need more. We need more narcotics in the world. And who are bringing? It says no one. I like this little one. No one seems to know where the seeds originate from.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
They say that they are hand delivered for planting this year by the same men who collect the opium after each harvest. I mean, I'm having flashbacks of things called like not really being there of things like called Air America and the CIA. The CIA would never form some little thing to get drugs out of a country. These guys are. The CIA is part and parcel. You can go back to the British East Indian Company. These guys are drug dealers. These guys are drug dealers. It is truly amazing. But your co-host, Shane, his segment, he does Stop the Terror War.
Yep, End the Terror War, correct.
End the Terror War. You know, this ties right into this because this is something that we've seen constantly wherever maybe it's not always about drugs, but we implant ourselves in order to do something. Drugs cause chaos. You know, order out of chaos. Maybe you can go into Iraq and Syria and all these places and the CIA or whoever can establish a little group called ISIS, get some nutcases to join. Maybe you can go over here and influence the world not with a different kind of terrorism, with opiates. Opiates, hey, real opiates for the masses. And these guys remain the main producer of opium and heroin for the world. They're the main producers. But it keeps going on. It keeps going on. This is one of those things, you know, you'll see, isn't it interesting? They'll go after this place with marijuana, this place with cocaine, all this in the world. But that opium trade just does not quit. That whole trade of the crown. Via the British East Indian Company. People need to look at those flags, guys. Look at your British East Indian Company flags. But the British East Indian Company, these guys, just the drug dealers of the world, it hasn't changed. It has never changed. So, I thought that was an added, you know, just thinking about his take on things. I thought that was an added aspect because terror just doesn't come in under the guise of, blowing something up or bringing about fear. It can come under the guise of hard drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree with that assertion.
So what else do you guys have going on over at Liberty Under Attacks?
Well, we are, in the works of getting a new website set up. I've been doing more writing recently. I've had a lot of inspiration let's say. I finally finished my Global Disarmament Bill and Open Skies Treaty article, and that's available on the website. wrote an article yesterday in my speech class. It was our final persuasive speech, and I had to end on a controversial note, which I enjoy doing. I discussed communism in America, and I wrote an article on that, and it was perfect. I mean, I won't go into the actual speech I did because we all know Federal Reserve, central banking, graduate income tax, government schools, et cetera, et cetera. The girl after the dinner speech after me, it was just so perfect. She came on and she doesn't think the government's been doing enough to prevent drunk driving, and she proposed mandated breathalyzers in every single car. And I was just sitting there like, thank you, you proved my point even more.
Right.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I was a little, it was kind of funny, but also kind of infuriating at the same time. So I sat down and wrote an article on that too. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, we live in a world where people, they have been so programmed, man, they've grown up with it to expect things from the government. You'll have somebody that doesn't, let's say they don't take any government program, and they will criticize people for taking a government program, but they will get money back in taxes, and that's okay. Money they did not, you know, more than they paid in. A lot more than they paid in, they get back, but that's okay. That's okay to get somebody else's money that way. But it's not okay if the government just in programs for people get it. It's all a program. Truly, all of their programs have to do with Peter, you know, take from Peter and give it to Paul. That whole thing. So it doesn't work. I was talking yesterday on the show. People, they can get in a utopia land and believe that this whole socialist thing might work. It does not work. Socialism doesn't work. Its little ugly sister, communism, does not work. And I would venture to say that corporate, whatever you want to call what we have in this country.
Corporatocracy.
It's not free enterprise. It doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work either. But all of these, you pick one, I think they all lead to the same, concept.
Just at different speeds.
Yes, sir. And sometimes they flow into each other. I keep telling people what we have in this country is closer to having a proletariat and us being the peasants than going the opposite way towards socialism. I believe it's been a crafty little plan, man. It has truly been a crafty little plan, and it goes back to the 1800s when the opposing lodges, the Grand Orient being more about communism, the Grand Lodge being more about capitalism, they said, hey, how about corporate socialism? And we'll have different shades of this around the world. Some of it will be extreme. Some of it will be utopian, and we'll give trinkets. We'll give trinkets and presents to everyone. Don't worry. We're here to help you. So it really has. It's been a long-term plan. You know, way before that, it was a long-term plan. You know, there was a guy named Babek Corandum. He was back in like 800, in the 800s. Do you know that for several years, quite a few years, he brought chaos and communism to Baghdad and the surrounding areas? Chaos and communism. He was a Jacobin before there were Jacobins. And he had the whole idea of depopulation, that whole idea of you need a socialist communist setup where the government gives, you know, takes from the rich and gives to the poor. It goes back to a guy, you know, if people want to start seeing more and more roots of this, it goes back to a Gnostic that got into this whole Gnostic dualism control paradigm named Mazdak, as Mazdakism. And from Mazdakism, you get what you call the Manichaeans that corrupted Christianity. You get the Ismailis that corrupted Islam. On and on, man. But one of the central tenets that they always have, you'll find in these groups that were influenced, was socialism. See, I think that socialism and communism go hand in hand with the secret societies. Not for them to practice, but for what they're wanting to implement. I don't think it's their end game. Don't get me wrong, I don't think it's their end game, but it's how to break a population.
It's the vehicle for their goal.
Indeed. It is a, you're exactly right. Good, good phrasing there. It is a vehicle for their game. I twist my head around it, man. I'm like, what kind of system, you know, cause that's what I believe. I'm like, what kind of system are they heading towards then? Truly, what kind of system are they wanting to take us in if it goes beyond communism? And there were things that in Soviet Union that went beyond communism. You know, Lenin knew. Lenin understood this went bad. And I always talk about this. Lenin knew it went bad. He tried to straighten some stuff out. You know, he's like, he let private ownership of property come back on a large scale. 90% of the businesses became privately owned. Right before he died, then Stalin came back and was like, oh, let's put this back into play, which brings me to another article. What do you think about this? You know, Gorbachev. Gorbachev's in the news with a weird mark on his head saying, I am convinced that without Russia, it would be impossible to have achieved victory. And he's talking about during World War II. He said that if it was not for the Soviet army, Nazism could have spread to unimaginable boundaries and maybe have even been kept spread to this day. Now, here's a little interesting side take on Gorbachev. Do you know he was a 32-degree Grand Orient Mason? Now, the guys in the proletariat in the highest, they could be in the lodges and when they went to other countries and stuff. Not your everyday people. That was one thing that Lenin and then Stalin did again. They made sure and shut down the lodges. They didn't need any of that kind of revolutionary activity going on.
Not in their country, right.
Do you know that Gorbachev, a few years, well, it's like just two or three years before he became their president, whatever it was. Do you know he met in London? He met in Paris. And they sort of brokered it. It said that there were certain deals brokered. These were supposed to be, you know, economic peace talks, that kind of stuff. You know, what do they always give over Ronald Reagan? He said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. That wall was already being torn down.
You sure that wasn't Bush you were impersonating?
Hey, same thing, man. Same thing. We'll be right back, guys. You're on Waking Up the Masses right here on Truth Frequency Radio. Hang in there.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the Microplant Powder family. Microplant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Like a cancer that silently spreads.
Aging for Truth with Joe Bannister. Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
And we're back here on Waking Up the Masses with our guest today, Mr. Shane Radliff of Liberty Under Attack. Under Attack, that's a K, not an S on it, .com. Welcome back, Shane.
Well, thanks again for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
I was talking about Gorbachev before we went to the break. Gorbachev was a 32nd degree Freemason. Now, I think it was 89, running there when he came to power. In 1984, this guy traveled to London and Paris, and who was he meeting with? Meeting with the Habsburgs. He was meeting with the Habsburgs. Now, very interesting that right before 1989, when a lot of this started, the ball started rolling, he started seeing a lot of revolutionary changes going on in Poland and Germany, East Germany and Czechoslovakia and Hungary. It's very interesting that Gorbachev had allowed them to open lodges again. More importantly, Gorbachev had allowed them to open the Grand Orient lodges, which were the seat of revolution. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. You know, in 1990, these things finally, what was it? Was it 91? When was the wall came down?
Pink Floyd, The Wall came down in like 1980, I think.
The 91. It was 1991. And, everybody say, oh, it's this peaceful, bloodless transition from communism to democracy. I believe more what you can see is an agreement. It's one of those agreements that they've made going back through history. Hey, for control, we need some control now. For the control, we're going to do this.
And you know what the democracy really is, right?
Well, Lenin,
democracy is indispensable to socialism, and Karl Marx, democracy is the road to socialism.
Yes, because you dumb down the populace, and they'll vote, and the mob will vote for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah, you bribe them into socialism.
That's right. Trinkets. Now, I think it's interesting to look. You can see where, Bush, that being Daddy Bush, he spoke before the Economic Club of New York City, and let's see, people there were Peter G. Peterson, who was at the time the chairman of the CFR, David Rockefeller, who member of the CFR, of course, and don't forget the Lucius Trust, and let's see, who else, a few others, but Bush was speaking, and a reporter asked him. He said, "You have talked several times about basing the future on a new world order. Can you give us the definition of a new world order and if it depends on the collaboration between the Soviet Union and the United States? And if it, let's see, and how do the events in the, and remember, this was at the time when there was a revolutionary movement. The Soviet Union has not been dissolved yet in 91. He said, and how do events in the Soviet Union affect this concept? Now, I'll read you Bush's exact reply when he was asked by the reporter at the Economic Club of New York City on February the 6th, 1991. He said, well, it doesn't entirely depend on it, but it would be greatly enhanced by a Soviet Union that goes down the line with its commitment to market reform, to private ownership of land, to a free economic system, to a system that resists and does not use force to assure order amongst the republics. That goes farther down the road with elections and all the openness that I give President Gorbachev credited for. Now my vision of a new world order foresees a United Nations with a revitalized peacekeeping function. Yeah. See, we only see the speech. You don't hear a lot of these little things where you talk to reporters. You should look that up. Look and see if you can find it online anywhere. February the 6th, 1991, Economic Club of New York City, President H.W. Bush speaking. And so... But it's the same thing, you know, you have to, during the French Revolution, a lot of people make it about the revolutionaries, when it was the elites that were pushing the revolutionaries. It was those that saw themselves as being elites, what had normally been their grasp on society, their monarchical rule on society, they decided to release this a little bit. You know, we put the blame on individuals like Pike and Manzini, and I believe even these individuals were nothing more than, I think it's funny. I believe Pike was just as much of an outer Portio as he claimed that the Blue Degrees were.
Sometimes I think these guys see their power destabilizing, and so they foment these things to happen so they can retain their power. That's how, you know, maybe that's just me, but that's how I see it.
Well, and some of them didn't, you know, like Manzini. Manzini could have cared less for the secrets of, or the mysteries or whatever they are in masonry. He truly could care less. He used masonry as a vehicle. It was in Italy when he started, when fellow Masons knew that he had adopted onto this Luciferian doctrine, they were perplexed, man. They were completely and totally perplexed that he would buy into any kind of mystical doctrine. They didn't understand it, but hey, he's Manzini. He burn it down, kill them all. He knows how to do it. Poison them, give them the antidote later, and make sure you got their... That's one little interesting story about Manzini. There was some government official that crossed him, and he poisoned him and gave him the antidote. When the guy was almost dead, he gave him the antidote. That guy didn't do anything bad anymore, did he?
Of course not.
Oh yeah, he sort of double-crossed him and went to the monarchy. He was a government official and he went to the monarchy and sort of started informing him on Manzini's get-togethers and what Manzini had planned. And they knew that he was very valuable and they needed him. I guess that's what it really boiled down to. So they gave him the poison, then Manzini walks in the room and gives him the antidote. A lot of crazy stories about Manzini and Pike. You know, we get lost in that. Brings me to another thing here. You know, mainstream media drumming up trouble, Shane. Mainstream media drumming up trouble. What about Pamela Geller?
Pamela Geller. I recognize the name.
The one that organized the Draw a Picture of Mohammed contest.
Oh, yeah.
What's your take on that?
I don't know. It just comes back down to the misplaced hatred or anger when the federal government of the United States has killed far more people than radical Islam has, more exponentially.
I believe, you know, she can do whatever the heck she wants to, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she says that, you know, from the article, she says that the Islamic State wants to kill her for defying Islamic blasphemy laws. You know, cartoon contest, so forth and so on. It says the New York Police Department said Wednesday it is investigating a threat against Geller, posted on a site associated with the Islamic State. The statement said Sunday's attack outside the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland, Texas, in which two men went wounded, a security guard, before they were shot, was only the beginning. And it has 71 trained soldiers in 15 different states. I keep thinking of Albert Pike. The Third World will be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world.
Yep.
Or as we're going to start calling them here.
Whoa!
Spilling water on my desk. You got to love.
Don't do that.
I did it. I did it. As we call him on here, see, he cursed me. Albert Pike from the grave, man. Making me drop stuff. You're definitely, your name on here is Alberto 33. Oh man, it's shorting cords out and stuff. I can hear sounds going in and out. Don't you
right over there?
Yeah, I'm animated when I talk, man. My hands move around and stuff sometimes, so, you know.
So Shane, what do you got coming up on the show this week?
We'll be interviewing Adam Kokesh in the first segment, maybe into the second segment. And then I'm going to kind of give my layout of my adventure in the jury summons. Because it was, definitely, interesting, especially when it comes to the communist state of Illinois. They don't make anything easy. And, let's just say ignorantia juris non excusat. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, but you really can't find what you're looking for. And the guy that I actually went to the government center, asked him the question, the guy who handles everything jury related, said he would have to get back to me, and I report to jury duty on the 11th, and I have not heard anything. So,
it's a fun time. I'm telling you, it's great.
Gotta love bureaucracies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was listening, but sorry about that. I'm back. I had to put up the paper towel dam there to stop the water before it got to my mixing board, and so everything's good.
Sure.
Anybody has a mixing board that does anything like this, it's happened to you. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, oh God.
Yeah, mine's about 12 feet away from me on purpose.
But just for that reason, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just for that reason. I was, I guess I should ask both you guys to come on today. What is, Mr. Matt Kester, what's he been getting into more with his, In the Terror War research?
Well, he's working on a couple articles right now, and he's still adding to his, the Terror Industrial Complex and You, Q&A series. He's still adding to that. As far as research, just continuing following the developments going on around the world and, dabbling around in history as he always does. So, I mean, we're kind of in this, at the stage right now of writing, which I'm kind of happy about because I've, for the past year or so, whenever I've wanted to do something, I just make a video or something along those lines. And now I'm actually getting back into writing, which is what I, probably my favorite thing to do. So.
So you're putting up articles.
Yep, exactly.
And guys, you can find those at libertyunderattack.com. Libertyunderattack.com. Have you been doing any research into the mystery schools lately?
Actually, no, I have not. I have not. I ordered some books that I need to look into. You mentioned one of them, the 68th Convocation of the Rosicrucian Order. Mm-hmm. I got that book. I got a couple of Manly P. Hall's, Secret Teachings of Freemasonry, I think it's called.
Secret Teachings of the Ages.
Yeah, that one. So yeah, I've got some material lined up. I've just got to get through what I'm doing now, and I'll dive back into that line of research.
I don't really think it's always necessary. I believe there are plenty of things for us to deal with, but for us to truly understand that we're just cutting off the head of a snake happens to be a multi-headed hydra, we have to understand the mystery schools. We have to understand their operation, their modus operandi, their object, what they really want and what their belief is of us. That's the thing, what they believe about us. That says it all. And sometimes you can find that in just simply political documents. You can find it, you know, you can see where they are. They're snide, man. You see it in the way they talk about everyday people. We got to get past this whole elitist thing. That is one thing I believe that America suffers from, and probably the world suffers from, but very, very much so. This country suffers from. We get into this idea that whether it's a politician or an actor or a musician, it has to be the elitist. It has to be the elitist. If it's not the elitist, it's not good. It's that concept of if you pay more, it's got to be better. You know, we're all brainwashed by this crazy stuff. And we got to get past that. We truly got to get past that. That's why I'm saying I always, it is very heartening to see someone your age that's waking up, man. He sees what the heck is going on in the world and, continues doing it. Not continue doing what's going on in the world, but you continue doing what you're doing.
Well, I definitely appreciate that.
But, oh, yeah. When I was your age, it was fun signing other things. I mean, that was it. You know, I was a responsible individual as far as money and that kind of stuff went, but you know, I could care less about a new world order. I was concerned about the next date order. You know, these type of things. That was me. That was me. And see, this is my opinion. Here is my opinion. I believe that's what young people should be concentrating on. I think about, now granted, I grew up at that time. Yes, there were plenty of things going on. But I lived in a utopia, shall we say, in my mind, in my early 20s, not necessarily utopia, but I didn't know any of these things were going on.
It was all rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, I didn't know any of this stuff was going on. So not knowing what was going on, I was a smart kid, man, but I didn't know any of this stuff was going on. So not knowing what was going on, I lived a different way. But I was always what I considered an awake person. I just didn't know about any of this stuff. More and more people your age are having to learn about this stuff. And that's the thing. It puts us in an unnatural state.
We didn't have the access, Robert, as they do now.
I know, but if you think about it, it puts us in an unnatural state. People should achieve knowledge and wisdom and, you know, enrich themselves however they see, you know, their place. But we have gotten to the point where people cannot enjoy life. I guess that's what I'm saying. The 20-year-olds in this day and time, things may seem a lot more, what would you say, more fun, more, people have let loose, shall we say, a little bit more, but there seems to be a certain chaos and a certain mentality. And of course you can put that on big pharma drugs and the stuff they've stuffed down children's mouths that have become adults over the years. And, we have to get to a place where people, I know I'm getting all philosophical here, but we do have to get to a place where people your age don't have to worry.
Yeah.
And perhaps people my age don't have to worry. But we should always be vigilant. That's truly the thing is, man, we should always be vigilant and have our, have a concern. That's where it's all going downhill. Nobody has a concern. Their concerns rest on other things. Their concern rest on their own projects, which flatter their intellect. Well, what little intellect they have, it's all about flattery. And that's our downfall in society. I believe our biggest downfall is flattery. If you keep convincing someone and blowing smoke up their backside, man, you can make them docile. You make them sit back and say, hey, I don't care. But give me that global warming tax. You mean if you're going to take away the internet, if I don't pay global warming tax, man, you know, they get a lot of people on that one. They just shut it all down and say, pay your tax now.
And especially your since tax the FCC now. Started regulating the internet.
Yeah.
They can do that now.
Yeah, they can just
it
say
won't
that,
be long.
They can put it in there like an internet tax and say that it is commerce that can be done. You know, and since they regulate commerce, that's what their big job is. Yes. Can't you see it? We'll shut it down. There's a big old fine now and there. It's either a fine or a tax or more money for the proletariat so they can keep playing games while they're eye in the sky, reading their minds, knows what they're doing and making sure they play good little puppets. So what do you got?
We really don't know what tax are hit. We don't really know what the ramifications of them regulating the internet are going to be specifically, because in the document that they released, the table of contents states that there's about 600 pages and they only released 400.
Well, this has always been something, you know, look at gas taxes, look at how much money, you know, there's always been, if people want to get down to it on your fuel and stuff like that, they have constantly found a way to gouge you more and more.
Oh yeah.
And this is the way they'll do it. This is the way they'll do it. Just like, you know, if you don't get affordable health care according to the new law, quote unquote, then you get fined. You get fined. Now, since this is the new world religion, now you all have to pay tithes. You understand that? This is the new world religion. They're going to pass around a collection plate, and it's politically correct to put your money in the plate.
I'll drop my deuce in there anytime they want.
Yeah, I don't see them doing anything. Honestly, that's the way they do. They're very sly and progressive about the things they do. And then later on, what they do causes so many problems. But yeah, they're very sly and slowly progressive about what they do, and they'll sneak it in. As everyone screams and keeps looking for it to come under the guise of a big jackboot, it will come under the guise of slipping you a Mickey and getting you when you're sleeping.
Yep.
That's it. They gave you a roofie and you're out. The government is the ultimate date rapist. They know all kinds of potions to give you and then just knock you out and do whatever the heck they want to with you. That's a good analogy of what our government is. They're date rapists. They take you along, they promise you this, they promise you that, and it does end.
And they drug you.
Yeah, well, either they drug you, and if you try to run away, they're still going to get you. Either way, I mean, there's a barrel at every corner they're going to bend you over. Barrels, chains, all kind of stuff. It's like one of those 10th level of Hades, Dante type things, man. It's bad.
Yeah, you think KY Jelly stocks must be up right now.
What? So what do you guys have going on in the future, man?
Well, definitely going to kind of, cause I'm trying to look for solutions. I really don't have any myself right now, but I'm kind of looking into, like I mentioned before, kind of, I'm trying to learn the law. I'm trying to not be ignorant of the law. And I guess try to find some things that work, no matter how insignificant they may seem, whether it be canceling a voter registration or whether it be reclaiming unclaimed property, which if your listeners haven't done that, they might as well go check, because it's legal. It's your money to begin with. You can get it back. And, the government's trying so hard to give you what's rightfully yours. So I definitely, recommend people do that, as long as you, aren't worried about the privacy aspect, because it does violate privacy. I guess on top of that, I mean, I don't know, more writing, I guess. More writing. I don't know, there's a lot. There's a lot. I'm trying to get some other people on the show as well, which I think would be, would definitely be beneficial to our listeners.
Right. What do you think about what's your opinion on everything going on up in Baltimore?
Well, same old. We don't live in a police state. I mean, I believe in the non-aggression principle. Should government violates every single day, as well as these rioters that are destroying private property, which violates the axiom of self-ownership. So I understand where they're coming from. It's definitely what they did to Freddie Gray was definitely wrong, and there was police misconduct, as most of the time there is. But I don't advocate the rioting at all, and I don't really advocate protesting much either, because it's largely ineffective. Which we actually did just have a debate on last week on the show. I had Kyle Reardon and Matt. Matt believes in protesting, and Kyle does not. And we actually had our first LUA debate, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah, as the sheep gather together and baa, the shepherd already has the slaughterhouse ready to go. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. That has been you might find one, but the majority of in the past 300 years revolutions around the world, that's always been the way it is. Castro didn't bring any beautiful thing to his country. His was basically a Masonic revolution. Same thing. Lenin didn't do it. The French didn't do it. The Italians didn't do it. Now you have people, see, that's the bad thing. You've got people in this day and time that, glamorize, you know, the way the French live. Oh, viva la France. Viva la revolution. What about that revolution? Viva la revolution. Good gosh. Like I said, the elites, they learned how to herd people. They learned how to herd people, and they learned how to move them. You know, promise them bread. Promise them circus. Promise them somebody else's bread and circus. That's even better. So whose bread and circus are you going to get, Shane?
Oh, I don't know. Hopefully none.
There you go. That's the good answer. You didn't buy into the dialectic where you said my own. These are, seriously, most people say their own. So, well, man, thanks for coming on today. Enjoyed talking with you. I know we've just sort of been all over the place with stuff. But you know, actually the media cycle is in this day and time. It truly is all over mm-hmm. the place with stuff. It doesn't matter. And I think it's by design. Of course it's by design to keep you constantly off your toes. I watch so many people. The social networks are an excellent medium to watch this. Watch the mainstream articles that inflame emotions. And watch how the previous article that inflamed emotions, or the, you know, whatever the story was, dies out. It almost dies out like an old song from 50 years ago that nobody listens to except a few people. Man's attention span has gotten so bad. Truly, man's attention span has gotten so bad that news that's actually important from 3 days ago becomes old news to us.
They can't even get through a 4-minute video on YouTube, dude.
Indeed. Jade Helm. What about Jade Helm? What's your opinion on that?
I'm watching from the outside, I guess. I'm observing what's going on and what some of the theories are and so on and so forth. I don't really have I don't like hype and hysteria, and AJ Mr. Jones has been claiming some things, and I don't know. I don't like buying into the hysteria and the hype. There's not saying that's not anything. I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm observing it, but as far as any direct conclusions, I don't have those.
Well, we have about a minute left. Let Mr. LeBang, let me tell him real quick. Go to YouTube, look up John LeBang, and look for his videos. Your previous video.
Yes.
Tell Mr. Radliff real quick about what you found.
So just go out there and Google Jade Helm, and then add another word to it, or just any kind of variation on Jade Helm, you know, Jade Helm, Texas, or whatever. And then go to the maps section, and you're gonna start seeing all kinds of different things. Now, I've been doing it since my video, and I typed in Jade Helm, Illuminati, and Denver International Airport came up. I typed in Jade Helm, New World Order, and in your backyard, my buddy, right there, the Georgia Guidestones came up. There's some crazy stuff coming up when you just type in Jade Helm and whatever else with it, or just Jade Helm. I don't know what's going on. I think, who knows? You know, like you said, seriously, Robert, it could be a tag of some sort.
Indeed. All right. Hey, Shane, thanks for joining us today, sir.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Go to libertyunderattack.com. Check out his stuff. Hang in there, guys. You have the Kev Baker Show coming up next.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.